Harris said he thought it would be humpy. He said he knew the sort of place I meant, where everybody went to bed at 8 o'clock and you had to walk 10 miles to get your baccy. No, said Harris, if you want rest and change, you can't beat a sea trip. I objected to the sea trip strongly. A sea trip does you good when you're going to have a couple of months of it, but for a week it is wicked. You start on Monday with the idea implanted in your bosom that you're going to enjoy yourself. You wave an airy adieu to the boys on shore, light your biggest pipe, and swagger about the deck as if you were Captain Cook, Sir Francis Drake, and Christopher Columbus all rolled into one. On Tuesday, you wish you hadn't come. On Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you wish you were dead. On Saturday, you're able to swallow a little beef tea and to sit up on deck and answer with a wan, sweet smile when kind-hearted people ask how you feel now. On Sunday, you begin to walk again and take solid food. And on Monday morning, as with your bag and umbrella in your hand, you stand by the gunwale waiting to step ashore, you begin to thoroughly like it. George said, "Let's go up the river." He said we should have some fresh air, exercise, and quiet. The constant change of scene would occupy our minds, including what there was of Harris's, and the hard work would give us a good appetite and make us sleep well. Harris said he didn't think George ought to do anything that would have a tendency to make him sleepier